The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'd like to think of myself as America's second favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable. Hey, it's Jeff Katz in for my dear friend Todd Starnes this afternoon. So happy to be with you on a Friday. I just happen to love Fridays. There's something special about it. As I sit here and in the official broadcast hut looking out the official weather window, and I'm seeing sunshine, and I'm seeing trees, and I'm seeing grass, and I got news for you. I look at it and think to myself, yes! I look at it, and I always think to myself, so you look at this. You look at beautiful trees, and you look at grass, and we've got the two little canine units floating around here, Charlie and Pixie, doing their best to disrupt broadcast operations. But looking at all of this, and you think to yourself, huh, yeah, you know, it's really not a big deal. I don't know. I'm not impressed with it. And I'm telling you, I sit back and I think, oh, my gosh, could there be anything better? Could there be any further evidence that God's hand is behind all of this? Well, anyway, all right, so that's my my small dose of preaching for the day. Now that we've had at least one or two good words, can we dive into the nonsense that is currently impacting every single one of us? Bidenflation is hitting everybody. We have this feckless, clueless, bumbling guy. I do want to be polite, after all. In the White House. Is he in charge? Come on. Does anybody really believe that Joe Biden is in charge of anything? I don't think Joe Biden's in charge of Joe Biden, to tell you the truth. I don't think that he does very much for himself. I don't think he's capable of doing very much for himself. But what he can do, oh, not for us, but to us, is just off the charts. And it's off the charts bad. So I started out my day early today, set an early alarm, and I beat the alarm anyway. I wanted to make sure I was up by 6 o'clock in the morning. I actually woke up at 5, and I thought, well, you know what? It's close enough. I'm getting up. And I start listening and reading. What's going to happen today? What are the big stories of the day? What are the things I need to know about? I did all of that, by the way, after making lunches for my kids to take to school, because frankly, that is far more important than anything that the nitwits in D.C. are doing. So I make the lunches. By that point, I'm on the second cup of coffee. And then I start paying attention to the news. Today's the day. Oh, we're going to have new jobs numbers out. And it is expected, it is anticipated, it is predicted that there'll be great news. Going to be 500,000 people that got new jobs. They're off the unemployment rolls. My gosh, everything is just going to be right. And I thought, okay, look, I don't like Joe Biden. I don't like any of the people who surround Joe Biden. I'm not quite at the level where I would be chanting, "Let's go, Brandon," but I understand that. So I think to myself, it's actually good for America, right? It's good for America. We had 500,000 brand new jobs created. It's going to exceed expectations. And every one of the pontificating pinheads, every one of the yapping yahoos is going, oh, it's going to be big numbers. Big numbers. It's going to be great. It's another great day, one of these folks said. And I thought to myself, where have you been for the last 10 months? It hasn't been a great day involving anything with the assembled cast of characters in D.C. in 10 months. But okay, listen, you know what? I'm going to cut you some slack because I'm a nice guy. Sweet, lovable, harmless sort of a guy. So all I hear all morning, hours now. Remember, I got up at 5, quickly made the sandwiches, put together the lunches. Oh, 2 Elfin Goodness cookies for each of the Cats Kids. Joe and Julia each got 2 of them in a Ziploc bag because that's the type of dad that I am. I'm not packing carrot sticks. I'm not packing celery. Why? Because I love my children. Because I won't abuse my children. Because I want them, while they're dealing with whatever it is that they're dealing with in school, I want them to have a little snack. I want them to have something yummy. And Joe at least knows, Dad's a soft touch. He's hooking us up with the cookies. Julia, not so much. I think the last time I was sitting in for Tana, I explained the situation with Julia. My Julia is 18 years old, just turned 18 years. But developmentally, she's 18 months old. She's got a lot of challenges and disabilities and special needs and whatever the term is that we're going to use this day of the week, whatever it is. So, you know, Julia is not going to come home and say, geez, Dad, thanks for the cookies. Julia's not going to come home and say anything. But Julia, when she gets off the bus, could come in and give me a big hug and a kiss. I'll take that any day of the week. So, 5 o'clock hour, I'm taking care of all this stuff, and I've listened now for hours and hours and hours to all the pre-announcement announcements, right? All of those Democrat Party hacktivists who have been deployed, not to newsrooms, not to the White House, but to my ears, right? Because I don't have any choice. I have to listen to them because I want to hear what's going on, even if I know they're full of, you know what. So they're telling me they're good numbers coming in, big numbers, and they keep using the number 500,000. So here's what I think. I always think when I hear these predictions about these jobs numbers, that there has to be somebody in the, I don't know, the Department of Jobs numbers who leaks the information ahead of time, right? I mean, how else would you have that number? Do you just make it up? I don't know. I couldn't, it's a big number. I don't count that high. But then the real number comes out. And it's 198,000, which is terrible. Terrible. One more time. Terrible. It's a terrible number. It's an awful number. And it is really indicative of where we are, what's going on, and what Slow Mo Joe is doing to this country. Slowly but surely dismantling what's made America great, attacking people who do want to work. We're going to listen. I'm giving you the heads up. I feel that I have to warn you. It's not fair to just spring some sound of Joe Biden on anybody. I wouldn't do that to my worst enemy. Like fingernails on a chalkboard. I know. But we do have to listen to some of what Joe Biden had to say. Now, the weird part about this, well, not weird. It's honest. Ordinarily, I like to chop things up. You know, a lot of times you've got people sort of yammering on and on and on, man, like exactly like I'm doing. And you think, well, you could have done that in 30 seconds instead of 90 seconds. So generally speaking, I'd like to trim off all the unnecessary fat. But with Joe Biden, good gosh, it's all word salad. There's you no idea what he's really trying to say or how he's trying to say it, or is there a subject in this sentence? Is there a noun? Is there a verb? Is there a pronoun? Is there a puppy? Is there a baseball cap? No idea. So it's a little long, but we'll listen to it in just a couple of moments, and maybe you can make heads or tails out of it. The key takeaway from the Slow Mo Joe clip that we'll listen to in a moment, that I took anyway, was that he is so proud that he's forcing people to get the COVID-19 vaccine. I will tell you, I've had both Moderna vaccines. Everybody in my household, everybody at Casa Cats has had their vaccines. There are 5 of us. My oldest boy, 20 years old. Now, he's away at college at the moment, but he's still considered part of our household. And, of course, during the entire pandemic, he was home sucking up valuable food substances. It's like a vacuum cleaner. I don't know if you have a teenage boy, but if you do have a teenage boy in your household, number one, they look at the refrigerator like it's, you know, like it's a movie screen or a television set. They just open it and stand there. And it's like nothing has grown in there. There's nothing new, but they look at it. They look at it a million times, open it, close the door. And I can hear my father when they do that going, "Hey, close it. You're letting all the cold air out." But he would stand there. And then all of a sudden, he would just start eating things. I don't even know if he knows what he's eating. He's just standing there. It's like a buffet. I think I'm dead. I think I'm dead. And blah, blah, blah. But he is 20 years old, and he's brilliant. Just ask him. He's at Stanford University. So he made the decision for himself. He's an adult to get the vaccine. I made the decision to get vaccinated because I spoke with a number of doctors, one who was my primary care doctor and a couple of other doctors who, you know, see me for other things. You get to a certain age, like you hit 40, 45, all of a sudden what happens is this. You stop having the doctor, right? If you're under that age, you say to people, "Oh, I got to go to the doctor." After you get over a certain age, you go, "Oh, I'm going to the knee doctor. I'm going to the back doctor. I'm going to the hip doctor. I'm going to this doctor." So you get a million of them. So anyway, so I consulted with a number of those doctors and they all said, "Yeah, listen, here's why we got the vaccine." Each and every one of them had been vaccinated. So I made the decision to get the vaccine. Heidi, the bride, also consulted with her doctors and she made the decision. And so we're all vaccinated. And my understanding, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding was with the vaccine, I could go back to living my life as normally as I usually did, right? I don't need a mask. I don't need to hide under the bed. I don't need to be afraid of this, that, or the other thing. I've got the vaccine. But Joe Biden says, no, it's not enough. And we'll listen to Mr. Biden in a couple of moments. Okay, I want to give you some updates as far as social media, all right? Today, you can hit me up on Facebook if you'd like. You're looking for The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. You can always send me an email. Jeff@TheJeffKatzShow.com. Jeff@TheJeffKatzShow.com. And, of course, every single day, you, like me, ought to be visiting ToddStarnes.com multiple times a day. Great articles, great stories, great topics and sound from Todd every single day. ToddStarnes.com. Hey, it is Jeff Katz sitting in for my pal Todd Starnes today. This is the Todd Starnes radio program.
Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now. Click on the radio listener specials. Get deep discounts on MyPillow mattress toppers, towels, and so much more. For example, Mike is offering a buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener special for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. Enter promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS.
Today, for my dear friend Todd Starnes, always happy to have the opportunity to sit in for Todd. Now, I've given you fair warning. I've let you know you need to take whatever precautions you would ordinarily take before listening to something that, frankly, is not good for you. It's bad on every level. It's unctuous, but we've got to listen to it. So I want to take a moment here. I'm giving you the heads up again. You may want to, you know, get some cotton balls just to deaden the impact a little bit of listening to the face of Barack Obama's third term in office, Slow Mo Joe. Can we do clip number two, Joe Biden, please?
determine encouraging people before we get to the mandate. But even after all these efforts, we still had more than a quarter of the people in the United States who were eligible for vaccinations but didn't get the shot. And we know there is no other way to beat the pandemic than to get the vast majority of Americans vaccinated. It's as simple as that. And to spread to our children, to spread throughout society, in our hospitals, or the risk of other variants, it's all dangerous and obvious, but we're still not there. We have to beat this thing. So while I didn't race to do it right away, that's why I've had to move toward requirements that everyone get vaccinated where I had the authority to do that. That wasn't my first instinct. My administration is now requiring federal workers to be vaccinated. We've also required federal contractors to be vaccinated. If you have a contract with the federal government working for the federal government, you have to be vaccinated. We're requiring active duty military to be vaccinated. We're making sure healthcare workers are vaccinated, because if you seek care at a healthcare facility, you should have the certainty that the people providing that care are protected from COVID and cannot spread it to you. The Labor Department is going to shortly issue an emergency rule, which I asked for several weeks ago, and they're going through the process, to require all employees with more than 100 people, whether they work for the federal government or not, this is within the in the purview of the Labor Department, to ensure their workers are fully vaccinated or face testing at least once a week. In total, this Labor Department vaccination requirement will cover 100 million Americans, about two-thirds of all the people who work in America. And here's the deal. These requirements are already proving that they work. Starting in July, when I announced the first vaccination requirement for the federal government, about 95 million eligible Americans were unvaccinated, as was mentioned a little bit earlier. Today, we've reduced that number to 67 eligible Americans who aren't vaccinated. And today, we released a new report outlining effective vaccination requirements that are already proving their worth. This report shows three things. First.
Yeah, we're going to stop there, because as he's mangling the English language, as he's just totally mangling numbers, there are only 67 people in America left that haven't gotten the vaccine. All right, well, that's actually pretty good, I guess. He starts out by saying there was only 25% of people who could get the vaccine who hadn't got it, which, by the way, Mr. President, here's the deal. That means that 75% of Americans had gotten it. And then you come back and say, and we're going to mandate that employees, I think he meant employers, with over 100 people working for them must get the vaccines, and it's going to be a vaccine mandate, and it's going to be 66%. Does anybody want to break it to him that 75% is greater than 66%? Probably not. 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. Let me head down to Joe. He's in LJ, Georgia. Hey, Joe, you're on the Todd Starnes Show.
Jeff, great show. I'm at Sea Island, Georgia, with a lot of people from all over the country come to Sea Island. It's the home of taxpayer and small business champion Senator David Perdue. And the people that are coming here, I've had a chance to do a lot of informal interviews, and I'd say about 85% of them are totally against Biden. They, instead of tax increases and spending increases, they want to see spending and tax cuts.
Yeah.
I do want to say a word about, I told Grace I wanted to mention Mitch McConnell. McConnell, I think we need a new leader in the Senate. You know, he capitulated to the Democrats and went with that.
Hang on a second. Let me interrupt you for 1 second. You say we need a new leader in the Senate. Now, you're wrong on that, and I'll tell you why. We need a leader in the Senate because we don't have one at the moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I agree with that 100%. I think these career politicians have really fouled us up. We need new blood in Washington. I teach a leadership class, and I'd replace most of our career politicians by members of my leadership class at Fool's Barbecue in LJ. We need new leadership. We need to get rid of McConnell. Of course, we need to get rid of Pelosi and Schumer and Biden.
Yes, sir. But
anyway, the people down here, they're strong pro-Trump, pro-cutting taxes, pro-cutting spending.
I appreciate it. Show. Hey, Joe, of course they love the Todd Starnes Show, because when you shorthand it, they are pro-America. Joe, I appreciate the call. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in today for Todd. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my dear friend Todd. I've known Todd for a long time, and I'll tell you what. When Todd reaches out and says, hey, I'm going to be traveling, would you mind? He doesn't have to even complete the sentence. I'm just always so happy to help out Todd. I also happen to be a fan of Todd's. I'm just going to tell you that right up front. Have been for a long time. We're proud here in Central Virginia. We carry Todd Starr. Todd Show, News Radio WRBA, 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. And one of the things that I've noticed about Todd over the years, with the exception of me, Todd keeps some pretty good company, right? Good folks can always judge people by who you're spending time with. And my friend Todd has teamed up with ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. I want to run a couple of things by you, right? It's Friday. You got a couple of bucks in your pocket. Let's say you've got $100 right now in your pocket. Man, it's burning a hole in there, right? And you're thinking, okay, lots of options. What am I going to do with $100? Well, you and your special someone head out to a concert? Absolutely. Not a bad idea. Take your family of four out to dinner and a movie. You got to get a deal on that, but you could probably swing that. Maybe. Maybe you're a college football fanatic and you're thinking, you know what? I'm going to a college football game, whichever school you happen to be rooting for. I root for Stanford, not because I went there, but because I send so much of my money there so that my son can go there. Maybe after you go to the football game, you could afford a pizza. Now, anything I just mentioned, got to tell you, great fun, entertain you for a couple of hours, but I've got a better idea. I want you to stand up and be counted. I want you to head over to toddstarnes.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, and you make a gift to protect your most precious freedoms. You're going to be helping to safeguard the future of your kids and my kids and your grandkids. You know that our rights are under attack. It's a constant attack every single day. But you and ADF can team up, join forces. You fight for religious liberty. You fight for freedom of speech. So here's what I want you to do. Make a donation. It is your turn. $100 to the Freedom Fund helps ensure that ADF can remain fully funded, on the job, ready to step in anytime your freedoms are challenged. So join me right now. Support Alliance Defending Freedom. Again, you go to toddstarnes.com, toddstarnes.com, click on the ADF banner, or you can even phone in your donation if you'd like. 855-716-7461. 855-716-7461, and you can help ADF keep fighting for your freedoms, and I'll be a little selfish, my freedoms as well. We're dealing with some weird stuff right about now, don't you think? I mean, it really is. You take a look at our politicians. Don't look directly at them. I know you could burst into flames and all that, but we got some real, how do I say it nicely, slugs? No, that's not nice, Jeff. Bottom feeders? No, that's even worse than slugs. What's the matter with you cats? Well, you get what I'm saying. We got some folks who are in office right about now who, man, not good people. And I don't mean just people with political views that you and I disagree with, because that's always been the case. It's always going to be the case. Nobody agrees with somebody else 100% of the time. I figured that out a long time ago. Okay. But I'm talking about bad people. I'm talking about bad people with bad ideas, with bad designs, with bad activities. 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. Let me head to Steve. He is in Central Arkansas. Steve, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Thank you, Jeff. The things you've been saying this morning just brought to mind something I've been noticing for a long time. Maybe we're expecting too much out of our ruling class in Washington or our government. We're expecting them to do a pretty complex job of running this country, and we can't even get anybody up there that can count.
You're right. No, you're right. You're right.
They can't count jobs. They can't count money. They can't count votes. Mm-hmm. They can't count chromosomes.
Yeah.
That's more proof of the failings of our education system.
Yeah.
We've got a whole government up there now that can't do simple counting math, and their reading comprehension is terrible because apparently they can't comprehend what the Constitution says and the laws that they're supposed to be following.
Well, Steve, in all fairness, that Constitution has a lot of really big words in it, and it just seems to go on and on and on. You know, couldn't they just trim it down a little bit? Do we really need all of the rights that are mentioned there? Come on. Right?
What is this spending bill they got up now that somebody said is, what, 25,000 pages?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if our Congress, what it would be if they wrote a whole new Constitution?
Oh, good gracious. Not a chance. Not a chance. Steve, I appreciate the call. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. You know, Steve's right there. You're taking a look at people who, honest to goodness, cannot count. Now, I went to the Philadelphia Public Schools. I'm not here to tell you that I'm a math expert. But I've got 10 fingers, I've got 10 toes. So maybe I'm limited to 20, fair enough. But I've got some basic comprehension. And when I hear the folks in the White House and the folks in Congress say, yes, it's a $3 trillion bill? It's a $3.5 trillion bill, but the actual cost is zero. Now listen, I appreciate the effort. I really do. Because it takes gumption to be able to stand up and with a straight face tell us, well, sure, it's $3.5 trillion, but it's actually free. It's zero. Piece of advice for you. I don't know if you ever play poker. I wouldn't play poker with any of these people pitching that $3.5 trillion bill. Why? Because they are able to stand up and look you dead in the eye and lie to you. Now, in poker, it's called bluffing, but in the real world, it's called lying. And that's what they're doing. They're looking you straight in the eye, and they're saying to you, it's $3.5 trillion, but the real cost is zero. You don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't think they believe it. But then I have to wonder, are they so demented? Are they so delusional that they do believe it? I don't know. Terry is in Oklahoma. Hey, Terry, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
So one of the things I was hearing a while ago is the tape of Biden talking about the vaccine mandates. And I just like to say that, and everybody knows it, this is non-constitutional, totally against the law. There's no reason, nothing should make anybody have to go take a shot, especially to keep their job or, you know, to keep from being fired. And, you know, in order to do something, I've been writing congressmen, and I know there's some bills that are legislation being passed to try to stop it. But one thing you don't hear about right now, too, is a federal judge striking down this executive order. How many times do we hear Biden or Trump getting orders struck down by federal judges? It's like one to step in and help people out. And, you know, that's scary because it's like people are, and a lot of people I know are just taking it because they don't want to deal with it. And then, They're just laying down and giving up their freedom. It is scary.
Now, it's scary because you have people, again, on the side of the government. And look, my dad worked for the federal government for 44 years. I'm under no delusions. I don't think everybody who works there is evil. I don't think that people are stealing. I think that there are people in the highest levels who, frankly, do not have our best interests at heart. But what are they saying to us? Hey, you got total freedom. You can make a decision. But, you know, if you don't make the right decision, we're not going to punish you. We're just not going to let you work. We're not going to let you go to the supermarket and buy food, and your children will starve, but you go right ahead. You make whatever decision you like. It reminds me of the mob, right? You ever see any of the old mob movies where the guy comes along and he's got his, you know, the nose is bent and he goes, huh, nice store you got here. Sure would be a shame if, you know, a fire happened, right? It's a protection racket. That's what it is.
Right. And it also leads to the other point you're talking about with this $3.5 trillion spending bill. It's all coming to a point where I read an article on Fox just the other day about they're trying to make America a welfare state. Mm. And all this stuff is going up like crazy. I mean, how insane is it that people are losing their jobs and the unemployment's going crazy, but yet you're firing people because they don't get a vaccine? And how much is stuff going up and increasing in price? I was looking at tennis shoes the other day, and I used to buy a good pair of running shoes for $120, and they're like $200 and some dollars now.
It's insane.
You know, I could go on and on with points like that, but
yeah.
The last point I would make is about this pandemic. This pandemic is over. And how often in history have we ever reported virus numbers cumulatively over the years? We've never done that. They're putting the virus numbers from 2020 and 21 together, mm-hmm. and they're saying they're still adding up. And, you know, it's over, and there's no reason to keep this up. And you don't, I mean, they don't give you any leeway from having immunity from this vaccine. And it's like it's exactly what they want. They want people out of the workforce, and they want stuff to increase in price. And it's nuts.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's nuts. Terry, I appreciate the call very much. And Terry alludes to what I refer to as Bidenflation, because you can't blame this on anybody else. I know that there's an effort to blame this and everything else on the mean, evil orange guy. Remember him with the mean tweets? Oh, life was terrible then. Except 2 years ago today, we were in the middle of the best economy in the history of the world. Go ahead, let that sink in for a second. The best economy in the history of the world 2 years ago today. Now, I'm not buying $120 tennis shoes. But I just had to buy a pair of shoes. And I think I mentioned to you last time I was sitting in for Todd, a while ago, I fell and really, gosh, messed up my back and it messed up my legs. Anyway, I can't really do tie shoes at the moment. So I had to get a pair of shoes with Velcro. You know what I mean? I know it looks like I'm 1,000 years old, but it is what it is. So I go online and I'm looking for them. And I'm looking for them. And it wasn't just the price. The price seemed okay to me. They were about, I don't know, $65, $70. Let's say that was the price. And I was willing to pay that. I thought that seemed reasonable. What hit me were all the little things in red that said out of stock or back ordered or this may be available sometime down the line. I've never encountered that as an American before. See, that's what you used to see in old communist nations, right? They didn't have anything. Oh, they had beautiful buildings. You'd walk into the supermarket and the shelves were empty. Our shelves are not quite empty at this point, but you go into the supermarket, you go in and take a look and you see how much just basic foodstuffs have increased. I've got a dear friend of mine who owns and operates a wonderful, wonderful, a grocery store. It's a farmer's market. Tom Leonard is the gentleman's name. Tom's just a sweetheart. And I was talking with him the other day because I'm friends. And I say, hey, Tom, listen, Heidi and I think we're going to have, a couple of folks over for Thanksgiving. How's it looking on the turkey front? And he told me, he says, there's going to be a turkey shortage this year, especially for turkeys that weigh less than 20 pounds. And I thought, huh. It's kind of weird. Why? And then he starts explaining to me. I mean, everything has an explanation. More people, sadly, are doing smaller get-togethers, right? People don't want, apparently, to have people over. And so there will be a turkey shortage in that regard. And then he said, oh, by the way, might want to put in an order for your Christmas tree as well. I said, well, why? Because they're also going to be in short supply. And then Heidi, God bless her, came to me 2 days ago and said, oh, take a look at this. An article about artificial Christmas trees. Artificial Christmas trees this year are selling for approximately 50 to 60% more than they were selling for last year. It's crazy, don't you think? And that's where we are. I just want to share that with you. I mean, that is honest to goodness where we are. Now, I am happy to tell you, Todd just sent me a note. We were talking about the Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, and how important it is that you and I step up to the plate and help out. Do you know that the listeners to the Todd Starnes radio show are, in fact, leading the nation? Leading the nation in terms of raising much-needed funds to keep up the great work that ADF does. So thank you for that, and then you keep doing exactly what you are doing. Jeff Katz sitting in for my dear friend Todd Starnes. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Jeff Katz sitting in today for my dear friend Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Now, I mentioned to you I was up early today, 5 o'clock, and that's my normal time between 5 and 6, but it's getting tougher and tougher to get out of bed, and I blame Mike Lindell for that. I mean, I love Mike Lindell, and we have been such happy customers of MyPillow for years, not just the pillows. I've got, as I'm speaking to you, I'm wearing my slippers, but we've got the Giza Dream bed sheets on our bed. Huh. They're so comfortable. This is the one drawback. You're so comfortable, you may want to set your alarm a little bit earlier. You want to try them out. No, I'm not asking you if you want to try them out. I'm telling you, you want to try them out. In fact, when you go to MyPillow.com, they've got a wide variety of radio listener specials. The one that I would tell you about, certainly try the mattress toppers. We've got the towels. They've got everything. But right now, Mike is doing a buy one, get one free offer on the Giza Dream bed sheets. All the MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, a 10-year warranty. You go to MyPillow.com. Again, you click on the radio listener specials for the buy one, get one free offer on the Giza Dream bed sheets. You use the promo code STARNS or you call 1-800-839-8506. That's how you get the great specials. 1-800-839-8506. You use the promo code STARNS. You're going to love them. Oh, my gosh, you're going to love them. You really are. We've got them in so many different colors. And all right, I don't want to talk about my sheets. That's ridiculous. I'm embarrassed now. I'm only a little embarrassed. I'm not completely embarrassed, but they're great sheets. All right. Number of things that we've got to chat about. I'll tell you, we got to focus a little bit on the border today. A couple of great guys are going to be dropping by. Tom Homan, who was the former director of ICE. Tom's story is a fascinating one. Guy starts as a beat police officer in upstate New York, winds up as a border patrol agent, and then the director of ICE. Mark Morgan, another great, great guy, starts his life career-wise as a member of the United States Marine Corps, serves in the Marines, becomes a police officer in Los Angeles, and then he winds up President Obama's chief of the Border Patrol, President Trump's commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. Don't you think that's cool? Jerry from Milwaukee. Jerry, you're on the Todd Starnes radio show.
Hi. I'd like to respond about the COVID vaccinations. If someone had been sick before the COVID, they do have some immunity, but it's unlike this previous caller thought. It's not absolute. That's what the vaccination. If you get the vaccination, even if you were sick before, uh-huh. You have twice as much immunity or chance of not getting sick versus someone, two people, one who got sick, another person got sick, but one got the vaccination and one did not. So
okay, so hang on a second. Doctor, the gentleman who called before did not say you had absolute immunity. Just so you know. Well, anyway, Doc, I appreciate it. I mean, I just assume Jerry is a doctor with all of the medical advice he's dispensing. I'm not a doctor. I mean, believe me when I tell you, I'm so not a doctor. Just Jeff Katz sitting in for my friend Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes radio program.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in today. If you have kids in school, as I do, you're the enemy. This is the message. This is the message that we've been getting the last couple of days, right? Last couple of days, we're finding out that the Attorney General, what's his name, Merrick Garland, wants to dispatch the FBI and all sorts of other law enforcement entities to school board meetings. Why? Do you hate the members of the law enforcement community? Because I'm telling you, if you've ever been to a school board meeting, for the most part, they are about as exciting as watching paint dry. But over the last couple of years, all of a sudden, parents like you, parents like me, have said, whoa, hang on a second here. we really do have to stand up for our kids. You know, years ago, one of my kids, my oldest guy, was asked, what does dad do? Right? It's one of those little things you do in, I don't know, kindergarten or first grade, asked, you know, how tall is dad? And I think the answer... I think the answer was 6 inches, and how much does dad weigh? And it was like 11 pounds, and wow, cool. Just off by 180, 90 pounds, but I mean, otherwise pretty good. And then the question was, what does dad do? What does your dad do? It must have been like a Father's Day thing they were doing. And his answer was, dad goes to meetings. Now, there was a part of me that was a little, not hurt, it just... It kind of stung because I thought, all right, well, he really has figured out that a lot of these evenings I'm out at meetings. Now, these weren't meetings held in a bar room or a pool room. These were meetings with committees I was on, commissions I was on, boards that I was on. And I was on all of these things because of my kids. But I can remember thinking back and thinking, man, nobody comes out to these meetings. And for the most part, those of us who are on the board, on the commission, on the committee, we just kind of sit around and we talk about stuff. And we make decisions for other people, and those people don't even bother showing up. Well, now, people are showing up. People are showing up. Parents are showing up. Moms and dads are showing up and saying, hey, we don't want pornography in our school library. We don't want it. And we don't want this critical race theory garbage being jammed down kids' throats. I mean, think of the ugliness of this. Critical race theory is simply critical theory. That's the Marx operation, critical theory. You've got two groups. You've got oppressors and you've got the oppressed. That's it. Can't fit into any other category. And in the past, it's all been economic from the Karl Marx school, right? Oppressed and the oppressors. Only two groups. You'll have to be in one. Whether you want to be or not, you're in one of them. And this, of course, was the design to get working people to look at bosses as the enemy. Now, you have to kind of cut through it a little bit. You know, we always hear about the small businesses, right? Small business administration. Well, I got news for you. I don't ever use the term small business. I stopped a number of years ago. I talk about local business. Because at least for me, when I drive out of my house and I drive mile and a half down the road, I pass my kids' school. And then if I go another mile, I come to my favorite local restaurant, owned by my friends. Now, the name on the door, if you were to come and visit, we'd be happy to have you, by the way. We in Central Virginia are very hospitable. But if you were to come and visit, you would see a big sign that says Jake's Place. That's the name of the restaurant. And you might not know that Wendy and John are the folks who own and operate Jake's Place. So you just see the business sign. And people talk again about small business. Well, I don't think of it as small business. I think of it as the local business that's owned and operated by my friends and neighbors, Wendy and Jake. Oh, there is no Jake. Wendy and John. So that's how I want us to look at businesses. And it's very difficult to look at that local business and pit the employees against the employers. Why? Because you know who the folks are. You know who they are. You know it's Wendy and John. I look at another business. I mean, I'm not going to go down a list of all the businesses I know, but, you know, local businesses. A friend of mine, he and his wife own the local auto repair shop where we take our cars. We need an oil change. We need a new Johnson rod, our muffler unraveled, whatever it is. We go and we see Stan and Megan. Now, if you were to go down the street and say, oh, that's certified auto repair. Yeah, take the title off of it. Because when you see the business title, you think, oh, small business. No. Think of Stan and Megan. Now you're thinking local business. Now you're thinking friends and neighbors. Now you're thinking folks you see on Sunday at church or you see at the high school football game. And then you start thinking, well, wait a minute. How can you have the enemies between the employees and the employers? Well, you can't. And that's the point. When you're talking about local businesses, you're not on opposite ends here. Stan and Megan are trying to live the American dream. As they try to live the American dream, they give other people the opportunities to live their American dreams. So it makes it a beautiful, beautiful relationship, a beautiful country, quite frankly. Wendy and John are not hurting anybody. They're providing opportunities for other people to live their American dreams at their restaurant. And each of those business owners, and I know that Joe Biden and the Democrats demonize anybody and everybody who owns a business. Oh, they're millionaires and billionaires. Baloney! They're working harder than most of the people they have working in their business. They're getting paid long after everybody else gets paid, if they get paid at all. But that is critical theory. That's the whole economic thing, the oppressed and the oppressor. And so the reason I share that with you is when you look back, and I don't know, maybe you'll go, you'll pull out some of the Karl Marx writings and you'll take a look and go, that's what Katz was talking about. Critical theory. Got it. Oppressed and oppressor. But as you look at those terms, don't think about some giant corporation, because that's kind of difficult. I get that. You think of your local restaurant. You think of your local car repair shop. And then you tell me, anybody in that operation who is oppressed, tell me if anybody in that operation is an oppressor. Now, let's fast forward, I don't know, a century. Now we're at critical race theory. We take all of the ugliness of critical theory, oppressed and oppressor, and we turn it on our children. What an ugly, noxious idea that is. But that's what we did. Well, not we, they did. And so what does critical race theory say? Well, same thing, oppressed and oppressor. But now we're going to break things down along racial lines, because it's a good flashpoint. And if you're trying to undermine this country, if you're trying to do away with everything that has made America great, boy, you need a flashpoint. And this is a good one. So you've got oppressed and oppressors. Now you tell me, as you look at your son or daughter who's 6 years old, 7 years old, are they oppressed? Are they oppressed? I mean, that's my question for you. I have friends who have kids who are 6 and 7 years old. I don't think they're oppressed. I don't think they're oppressors. But think of how this resonates in the classroom. Think about how it sounds to that 6-year-old or that 7-year-old. The white child is told, you are an oppressor. Because of you, Johnny or Sue, your friend across the room, Johnny or Sue, will never amount to anything. It's all because of you. And then you turn to the friend across the room, Johnny or Sue, and this Johnny or Sue happens to be black. And you're going to say to them, hey, you'll never amount to anything because of your skin color. And you see that other kid across the room? He's your oppressor. That's why you'll never do anything. What do you think these kids are thinking? I'll tell you exactly what those kids are thinking. Let me jump in their heads for a second. You know what they're thinking? They're thinking, this is crazy. That's my friend across the room. I would never do anything to oppress them. The other child is thinking to himself or herself, well, this is crazy. That's my friend across the room. They're not doing anything to hurt me, to oppress me. And then they all agree, hey, could we go and get something for lunch or take a break and stop dealing with all this stuff? Of course. But that's where we are, and this is what has motivated countless moms and dads around America to stand up and say enough is enough. And now we have the Attorney General of the United States, at the behest of our nominal president, Slow Mo Joe, who I'm telling you is the face of Barack Obama's third term in office. And he wants the FBI to go out to school board meetings. And do what? Because I got news for you. I know plenty of special agents with the FBI. You know who they are and what they are? Number one, they're proud Americans. Number two, they're professionals. Number three, they're moms and dads. They're not going to be part of this nonsense. This is ridiculous. But it does give you a little glimpse, just a tiny, teeny little glimpse, at what is going on with the uber leftists in America. They are outraged that any of us are standing up and saying, no, we disagree. That's why you're seeing and hearing all that you're seeing and hearing. Hey, coming up in a couple of moments, Mark Morgan is going to be with us. Now, Mark Morgan is a great American. There's no question about that. Has served this nation on so many different levels. A member of the United States Marine Corps, police officer with the city of Los Angeles, a federal agent, FBI special agent, rose to the level of assistant director, if memory serves. He was President Obama's Border Patrol chief, and he was President Trump's commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. He'll join us. We'll talk just a little bit about this crisis that exists in America today. You know, I listened to Todd talk about coast to coast, border to border. I mentioned that on my Facebook page. And you know what somebody posted under it? What border? I think that's pretty insightful observation. Oh, if you want to hook up with me on social media, hey, I'd love to have you. Facebook, The Jeff Katz Show. On Facebook, you're looking for The Jeff Katz Show. By all means, head over there. Give it a like or a follow or whatever it is. Love to have you over there. Twitter, The Jeff Katz Show. And, of course, email jeff@thejeffkatzshow.com. jeff@thejeffkatzshow.com. I want to remind you, every single day, multiple times a day, you should be doing what I'm doing, and that is checking out ToddStarnes.com. ToddStarnes.com. Everything you need to know, I guarantee you this, you will find at ToddStarnes.com. Jeff Katz sitting in today for Todd. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Katz sitting in for Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. A couple of moments from now, Mark Morgan's going to be joining us. Mark Morgan formerly served as the chief of the United States Border Patrol, held that post in the Barack Obama administration, and he served as the commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. He held that post in President Trump's administration. Now, I mentioned both of those things because what you cannot ever say about Mark Morgan is that he's biased politically. The man has served, if memory serves, under six different presidents. Six different presidents. And he'll join us. We'll talk a little bit about what is or is not going on our southern border. It's outrageous down there. I want to remind you about the Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF. Now, this is a marvelous organization, and it has been doing incredible work for a long, long time. And I just want to paint this picture for you. Right about now, right? It's Friday. We all love Fridays. You got a couple of extra dollars in your pocket. Let's say you've got $100 burning a hole in your pocket. What are you going to do with it? You got lots of options, right? Yeah. You and the special someone can head out to a concert. Sure. Take your family out, maybe grab a dinner and a movie. Maybe you're going to go to a college football game, get some pizza afterwards. Now, everything I just mentioned, good things. I don't want to demean any of them, not diminishing any of them. Gives you great enjoyment for a couple of hours, keeps you entertained for a couple of hours. But you've got the opportunity to join my friend Todd by going to ToddStarnes.com, clicking on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, and making a donation to protect our most precious freedoms. Talking about the future of our kids, the future of our grandkids. Your rights, my rights, under constant attack. You and I hear these stories every single solitary day, but you have the opportunity to join forces with ADF, fight for religious liberty, fight for freedom of speech, fight for America. So here's how you do this. You make a donation of $100 to the Freedom Fund, and that helps to ensure that ADF can remain fully funded, on the job, ready to step in at any time that your freedoms are challenged. So head on over. Again, you go to ToddStarnes.com, click on that banner that says Alliance Defending Freedom. Again, go to toddstarnes.com, click on the ADF banner, or if you want, you can even phone in your donation, 855-716-7461, 855-716-7461. This way you can join us. You can help ADF to keep fighting for our freedoms. Did you know that Joe Biden called the hospital? No, he's fine. No, don't worry about it. It's not like he was calling the hospital because he wasn't doing well. He decided to call a hospital because he had a friend that was in the emergency room but wasn't being seen promptly. So he, the president of the United States, decides to pick up the phone and call the hospital and find out why his friend is not being seen. Now, look, I guess it's nice to have such good friends in such high places. But you know what that says to me? You know what that reminds me of? Our liberal overlords. See, the rules are not for them. The rules are for us. The rules are designed to keep us in our place. Gavin Newsom can have a big get-together with all of his pals. Nobody's wearing a mask. Nobody's got a vaccine. But hey, he's a leftist, so all is forgiven. The governor of Illinois can be traveling on planes. The governor of Michigan can do whatever she wants. The mayor of San Francisco, no mask, no problem. Remember, those rules, yeah, they're not for us. They're just constant reminders of our liberal overlords who make the rules and then don't bother following them. Crazy, right? Jeff Katz sitting in for Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Katz in today for my dear friend Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Every once in a while, you have the opportunity to take a look at someone who really does represent what's right with this country. You come across people who every day get up, they're going to work. And you may look at their job and you go, I wouldn't do that. It doesn't seem all that impressive to me. Blah, 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 blah. And then you step back for a second. You say they've got two children, they've got three children, they've got four children, they volunteer at their church, they're helping to do this, they're doing all the right things. And they're not asking for anything more than the opportunity. I was just telling you, I don't look at so-called small businesses anymore. I call them local businesses. Because my favorite restaurant up the street has a name, Jake's Place. But there's no Jake. Hasn't been a Jake in 70 years. It's owned and operated by my friends and neighbors, Wendy and John. I talk about the car repair place where I go. Certified auto repair. Sounds very impressive. Well, it is, I guess. I don't know. That's the name of the business. But the real business, Stan and Megan, who own and operate it, and the folks they have working for them. And in order for individuals like you, individuals like me, to be able to live our lives, to be able to send our children to school, to be able to achieve the American dream, there's certain basic functions that our federal government is supposed to do. And one of them is securing the border. We don't have a nation if we don't have borders. And so I take a look at what's happening right now on that southern border, and my hair hurts. So I wanted to bring somebody into this conversation who understands that border really like nobody else in America. I gave you a brief rundown of Mark Morgan's service to this nation, United States Marine, police officer in Los Angeles, FBI special agent, rising to the highest levels in the Bureau, served as the chief of the Border Patrol for President Obama, served as the commissioner of Customs and Border Protection for President Trump. He gets it. He knows it. He's lived it. And I'm so happy to say that Mark is joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mark, thank you so much for making time for us.
Jeff, thanks for having me. In any time, my pleasure.
Well, I appreciate that. Let's talk about what is or is not going on the southern border today. Are we secure at this moment?
No. Right now, we have the most insecure border in modern history. Let me make it very clear to your listeners. Our southwest border is wide open. From San Diego to Brownsville, it's wide open, Jeff.
So you say wide open. Now, I'm trying to imagine wide open. I'm trying to imagine the border that I knew, because when I would cross, there was a checkpoint, there were gates, there were Border Patrol agents. And you're telling me that at this point, realistically, anybody can go whichever direction they want to go?
They can, because here's what happened. There's really, I'll make it, more simple than it is, but you've got a couple different demographics. You've got single adults, families, unaccompanied minors. So okay. Right now, if you enter our border illegally under this administration as an unaccompanied minor, you're going to be released into the interior United States. If you illegally enter our border, Jeff, as a family, the overwhelming majority of them are going to be released into the interior United States. Single adults, what's happening? If they're apprehended, the majority are going to be removed. But guess what? They're the ones that run, fight, hide, do everything they can to avoid apprehension. And that's why we have over 400,000 gotaways this fiscal year, because border agents are pulled off the line to be daycare providers. That's why I'm confident when I say our borders are wide open.
All right, now, hang on a second. You just said, if I heard you correctly, these people are being released into the interior of the nation, but I just have to assume, bad thing I know, but I just have to assume we know where they're going and who they're staying with, and we're demanding that they come into court on a certain date, aren't we?
I know it's a rhetorical question, but it's good you bring it up, right? We have to the answer to that is no. They don't know where they are. A lot of them lie on the forms. They move. They don't keep ICE informed. They don't keep anybody in the government informed. And, of course, we know the overwhelming majority, once you're released into the interior of the United States, you do not show up for your court hearing. 90% get orders removal from a judge in absentia, meaning they just didn't show up. And this administration knows it. So not only have they created a welcoming center by opening our borders wide open at the front end, but they've also systematically dismantled ICE without any congressional approval authority, and they're not removing people.
Wow. So what's the Border Patrol doing at this point? Because we still have a few thousand Border Patrol agents, don't we?
Yeah, so we have over 20,000 Border Patrol agents. Jeff, that's another great question. And it goes to what I was talking about before. Look, when you have over 200,000 apprehensions, back-to-back, month-to-month, and for the 9 months, it's been 170,000 to over 200,000. That takes every one of those Border Patrol agents off the line to simply process and be daycare providers for the unaccompanied minors and families, and then they become bus drivers. That takes an exorbitant amount of resources. Think about that. 200,000 every 30 days. That's larger than the city of Arlington, Virginia, every 30 days that the Border Patrol has to process. That takes those Border Patrol agents off the line. So give you a quick example. Del Rio. Everybody saw Del Rio, the 15 to actually 30,000 that made it through Del Rio in that time period. Think about it. Every single Border Patrol agent was pulled off the line to process those 30,000 Haitians. Del Rio has 224 miles of border that shares with Mexico. Guess how many miles were patrolled during that time? Zero in Del Rio, one of 9 sectors. What do you think? I mean, so gang members were pouring in, criminal aliens were pouring in, and drugs were pouring in every single day as the cartels exploited the wide-open border.
Mark Morgan is joining us, and Mark Morgan served, his career is just storied, but last two assignments, Chief of the United States Border Patrol, Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. And Mark, I would ask you, if you don't mind, you referenced some of the folks coming across. Now, we get the images, the president, other folks in D.C. tell us, well, look, these are families, they're poor families, they just want a chance at the American dream. And most of us who are good, decent people, and we're going, oh, gosh, we want everybody to be able to pursue the American dream. There's a process to go through it. But the reality is, we're talking about criminal activities, and you spent a huge chunk of your career with the FBI dealing with criminal gangs, transnational criminal gangs. These cartels operate that border, right?
That's exactly right. And look, you're right. We're the most humane, compassionate nation on the face of the planet. You're right. And everything you just said, I'm all in. Legally, yep. Right? I support legal immigration. We cannot allow someone's to begin their life in America by breaking our laws coming in. And let me be clear. Seeking a better life economically is not a legitimate asylum claim. That's a fraudulent claim, and we know 90% of them are filing fraudulent claims. And to go to your point, look, this fiscal year alone, Border Patrol has apprehended 10,000 criminal aliens. Just go to their website right now. Just this past week, they apprehended more than one gang member. They arrested someone who had been convicted previously of raping a minor. They've apprehended murderers. Look, Jeff, I could go on and on. That's the 10,000 they've apprehended. Let's go back to that 400,000 gotaways. Can you imagine the number of gang members, the number of criminal aliens, child rapists and murderers? Look, people don't want to hear that, and I get called a racist and I'm hyperbolic. I'm not stopping because that's the truth, Jeff, but you're never going to hear it from this administration. And guess what? One last thing. Do you think they're staying on the Southwest border? Heck no. Those individuals are making their way to every town, city, and state in this country.
And as you point out, this is a population that includes extremely violent criminal gang members. And you reference the rape of a minor. And I look at this, and I would ask you to give us some insight on this, sir. I've heard the stories of young girls. I mean, we're talking 6, 7, 8 years old who are being trafficked. They're being brought into the United States. They're being prostituted. Women who are being used for all sorts of just terrible, terrible activity. I mean, these are the innocent victims. And don't we, as that caring nation we've referenced, as the group of people who really does want the best for everybody, don't we owe it to those young girls and those young women to stand up and say, no, we got to put a stop to this?
Yes, Jeff, you are absolutely correct. Look, this is another of many lies being told by this administration. The most inhumane thing our country can do, Jeff, is have open borders and incentivize encouraging people to put their lives in the hands of these disgusting, despicable cartels and smuggling organizations. Look, non-governmental organizations have said up to 30% of women and young kids are abused on their journey up. It is not unusual for a Border Patrol agent to interview a young child, 10 years old, 12 years old, that had been raped multiple times on their journey up here. And then, as you said, their exploitation doesn't stop when they get to the United States. Oftentimes, they're being trafficked at the same time they're being smuggled. They just don't know it yet until they're already in the United States. And let's talk about the dead migrants that have been found. Yeah. Right now, I mean, CBP has discovered hundreds of dead migrants along the Southwest border that perished as they were trying to attempt to illegally enter. And why? Because Joe Biden said, if you make it to our borders illegally, you're going to come in. We're going to release you in the United States. You're going to get rewarded. You're going to be given what you're trying to do, never to be heard from again. That's the reality of what's happening.
Can I ask you to confirm for everybody your service? You know, I was trying to do the math, and I've got to be honest with you, I'm not really good at math. So I was looking at this storied career, 6 different presidents, 7 different presidents that you've served under.
Six different, over 35 years of service, 6 different presidents, both Republican and Democrat. And I think, and Jeff, I appreciate you talking about my time as chief of Border Patrol. That was under the Obama administration. And then I was a CBP commissioner under Trump. This is not a right or left thing. This is about America. This is about our national security. And what's happened with open borders impacts every aspect of our public health, safety, and national security.
And I want to remind people that Mark Morgan served, as he said, he was the chief of the Border Patrol for President Obama. He was the commissioner of Customs and Border Protection for President Trump. He served under 6 different presidents. And I know enough from men and women I know with the FBI, their policy is always politically agnostic. And
right.
They go after bad guys. You spent a career doing that. Again, I talk about your time looking at these gang members, the transnational criminal operations. And so when people hear you speaking, they must not dismiss you out of hand by saying, well, he's part of the right, he's part of the left. You served everybody, and your sworn duty I would say, I'm speaking for you, you correct me if I'm wrong, but your sworn duty from the time you took that oath as a United States Marine till the time you left as Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection was simply protecting the United States of America.
Jeff, that's right. It's the same oath from when I was a 19-year-old Marine, so I was a 50-plus-year-old commissioner at CBP. That's exactly right. And if I can, kind of expand a little bit.
Yeah.
Part of my duties when I was in the FBI, I actually supervised an MS-13 gang task force in Southern California. They are the most powerful, violent, prolific transnational or criminal organization, a gang organization this country has ever seen. They're unbelievably ruthless. And they have their origins from the Central American countries. That's a fact. And so my question to people is, how many gang members are you okay with illegally entering and getting past the border patrol and making their way to your town or city? How many you're okay with? And here's another thing. Look, this is about border security and protecting our nation's security. This is not about illegal immigration. That's a subset. But look, when you open your borders up to one crisis or one threat, you open your borders up to the complex set of threats that we face. So as Border Patrol agents are pulled off to be daycare providers, what do you think is happening? Drugs are pouring through illegally in between our ports of entry. Last year alone, 100,000 Americans died from drug overdose, and the majority of the drugs are coming from the southwest border. I just do not understand why people cannot get behind this. But I got to tell you, I just saw the latest poll. 67% of Americans now are saying Joe Biden's border security policies are a disaster.
Well, we're going to leave it on that. Mark Morgan, thank you so much for being here. Mark Morgan served as the chief of the Border Patrol for President Obama, commissioner of Customs and Border Protection for President Trump, and is, without question, a great, great American hero. Jeff Katz in today for Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in today for my dear friend Todd Starnes. You know, Todd is a great guy, and I'm not sucking up to him. I've known him long enough. I can be honest with him, and I can be honest about him. And when Todd decided to team up with ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, boy, I just thought this is perfect, right? You and I are here on a Friday, and we're thinking, man, we got a couple of extra dollars. That's great. What do we do with it? Are we going to a concert? Are we going out to dinner? Are we going to see a movie? Are we going to maybe, splurge a little bit, go to that college football game, have pizza afterwards? Everything I just said to you, be fun. Everything would keep you entertained for a couple of hours, but you've got that $100. I got news for you. Better way to use it. You go to toddstarnes.com right now. You click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. You make a gift to protect your most precious freedoms, the future of your kids, the future of your grandkids. Now, these rights, our rights, are under constant attack. You and I hear these horrible, horrible stories every single day. But you and ADF can join forces to fight for religious liberty and freedom of speech. ADF is a nonprofit Christian legal defense organization, and we asked one of ADF's top attorneys why joining forces with you is so important to their mission.
Well, it actually was started with the original vision of this, that we did not just want to be a standalone legal organization. We wanted to be an alliance. We are not called to do this alone, but rather to join together with other Christians, with other people that just share our religious beliefs, that share our value of free speech even, and fight these battles together as one.
So true. So true. Now it's your turn. A donation of $100 to the Freedom Fund helps ensure that ADF can remain fully funded, on the job, ready to step in anytime your freedoms are challenged. I want you to join me right now. Support the Alliance Defending Freedom. Go to toddstarnes.com. Toddstarnes.com. Click on the ADF banner, or if you'd like, you can actually phone your donation in. 855-716-7461. 855-716-7461 to help ADF keep fighting for your freedoms. We got somebody joining us in a couple of moments. The gentleman's name is Tom Homan. Now, I know we were talking about the border crisis, and it is a crisis. It's an unbelievable crisis. Tom Homan knows it firsthand. Why? Because Tom Homan was a member of the United States Border Patrol. Tom Homan's story is one of those great American stories. started his professional life as a police officer in a small town in upstate New York, joins the United States Border Patrol, serves on the border, sees what's going on. He winds up as President Trump's ICE director. So we're going to chat with Tom. We'll do that in just a couple of moments. And we've also got Congressman Andy Harris dropping by. Why? Well, because we're kicking the can once again. Because once again, we're going to increase the debt limit because, you know, we could just print more money. What could possibly go wrong with that? It's Jeff Katz sitting in for Todd Starnes today. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Jeff Katz, happy to be sitting in for my friend Todd today. Beautiful Friday. Gazing out the official weather window here in the broadcast hut. Gorgeous greenery. Look, I grew up in the city. So when I, as a kid, saw green, it was usually spray paint of some sort. So I look out my window and I think to myself, beautiful. Just beautiful. Trees and flowers and grass and all this stuff that I honestly never had as a kid growing up. But now as an adult, I'm thinking, hey, I'm done okay. It's not bad. This is the American dream. This is my American dream anyway. There's a certain dollop of freedom in there. Certain amount of liberty. Huge amount of opportunities. That's what makes us America, right? Not just Americans, but it's what makes us America. You had to define the American dream. Go ahead. Try and define the American dream. Well, it's a big pile of money. Is it really? Because I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I look at how I define myself, and I don't know how you define yourself, but for me, when I start, if somebody were saying to me, Jeff, all right, give us the rundown. Explain who Jeff Katz is. All right. Number one on the list, child of God. Ah, people are angry about that. Don't care. Child of God. All right. What else have you got, Katz? Well, I'll tell you. A husband, a father, an American. That's pretty high up on the list. What about the rest of it? I didn't even mention money because that's not the be-all and end-all. What about conservative? Yeah, that would be on the list. But it's not going to eclipse the others. What about Republican? Yeah, also on the list, but not going to eclipse the others. Because I got news for you. I think for the vast majority of us, we look at things. And yeah, we've got a certain perspective. Every one of us has a perspective. We all have a life we have lived, correct? We all have something we have done to bring us to where we are today. That's the American dream. And it is the opportunity to live that American dream. Now, I look at the nonsense that's going on in D.C., and I see people who don't care at all about the American dream. I see people, I'll just give you a short list. I see people like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I don't think they have any interest whatsoever, none, in allowing me to live my American dream. What they want to do is tell me and tell you, okay, here's the approved American dream. We've decided what's best for you. See, that's what I keep coming back to with these folks. They know better than I do how to raise my kids, how to mow my lawn, how to eat dinner, right? They want to be in every single solitary part of my life. I don't want them taking the butter out of my refrigerator. I don't. I don't want them telling me, yes, your children should memorize every single verse in Karl Marx's playbook. And that is what they're doing. That's what critical race theory is. We've talked about that before. They would have you look at the government for everything. Now, I don't want you to think I'm one of these guys who just bashes the government, because I don't. I sit here, I used to be a police officer. So I worked for, quote, the government. My dad spent 44 years working for the federal government. Started out as a military police officer in the United States Army, came out, and in civilian life, went to work for the federal government. I don't hate the government. I don't see it as some monolithic leviathan that's trying to squeeze everything out of us. I think for the most part, the government ranks are populated by good, decent people like my dad. But I do think a little higher up, in more strategic areas, you do have people who just don't seem to like this country or like those of us who are proud of this country. You want to talk a little bit about that? We probably should, huh? 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. Now, I'm going to remind you as well, if you would like, hit me up on social media. You can hit me up on social media. Look for The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Now, I shared with you Tom Homan's story. I shared with you where he was and how he got to be the director of ICE for President Trump. And I'm happy to say that he's got a couple of moments for us this afternoon. Tom is joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Tom, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So many of us who have not really spent time on that southwest border are seeing images or hearing some reports. And at least to those of us who are complete and total civilians, man, it just looks like it's screwed up six ways to Sunday. Is there any security on that border at this point?
No, you know, there isn't. Matter of fact, last week when they had that Del Rio issue with all those thousands under the bridge, they had to surge so many resources over Del Rio, and still, you know, let's not forget Rio Grande Valley. There's still thousands a day coming across there. There was 224 miles of border that was unguarded. There wasn't a single Border Patrol agent within 224 miles of border. You don't think the cartels had a field day with that? As we talked about this many times, the cartels control the northern border of Mexico. They decide when and where these large groups go through and what time they go. Knowing Border Patrol will pull all their assets over there, that's when they move their fentanyl. That's when they move the bad guys and the gang members, those that don't want to get caught. No, we're in trouble, and I've said it, and I've been attacked for it, but I'll keep saying it. If you're somebody in this world wants to come here and blow something up, it's almost impossible to get a plane ticket and a visa anymore, because all the background checks after 9/11 we do with looking for any derogatory information in any system, including DOD databases. Mm-hmm. If you want to come here and blow something up, you're going to come across the border when 224 miles is being unguarded. You're going to come across the border when 50%, I'm not exaggerating, 50% of the men and women in green are not on the border. They're in facilities processing people. Our border is more vulnerable now than it's been in my 35-year career. And what's the most pathetic and disgusting thing about it is that President Biden comes into office and within 2 weeks decides, I don't want a secure border. I don't want less illegal immigration. I don't want less drug flow. I don't want the cartels not to make money. He made the decision to unsecure the most secure border in my career that was handed to him, and he made a conscious decision to destroy it. What president with the responsibility of protecting this nation and our sovereignty would make that decision out of hatred for President Trump?
And you think that's what the motivation is, that Biden came into office. He's got a bizarre agenda, to be sure. It seems to be an agenda that embodies so many people, so many thinkers, so many ideas that just fly in the face of everything we as proud Americans believe. But you think that a huge part of this really was motivated by his contempt for his predecessor?
Well, he enjoyed it. I don't think the motivation, the fact that he hates Trump and the progressives hate Trump, That was just frosting on the cake, right? Mm. Look, he sold out to the progressive left and won the election. He voted for border barriers as a senator. He voted for border wall when he was a senator. He actually at one point believed in border security, but he sold out himself. He sold out our nation and our security to win the election. He knew he couldn't win it without the progressive left support. So he's basically doing everything they want him to do. This is about perpetual power. Because another thing he did was undo Trump's census rule. These millions of people coming in are going to be counted in the next census, which is going to result in more seats in the House for the Democrats, which leads to electoral college, which leads to perpetual power. They don't even have to vote to affect who's going to run this country. But, as you see, the Democrats keep pushing this theory of adding amnesty to all these reconciliation bills because they want them legalized. They want them to vote. This is about perpetual power is more important to them than security of this nation. There is no other reason you'd want an unsecure border other than bringing future Democratic voters in this country.
All right, but Tom, you look at this, and it's hundreds of thousands, it's millions of people, but these are not folks who are coming to the United States with a skill, right? They're not going out and making their way. They're not going out. What are they doing? How are they surviving?
Look, they won't come here. They'll take, most of them will take low-level jobs and some mid-level jobs. They're going to take jobs. They will compete with Americans to work for less. Look, no one, they're going to come here to work, right? Because, look, no one hires an illegal alien out of the goodness of their heart. They hire them because they can pay them less and undercut their competition. I just had a roof replace my house. I had to call six companies before I found a company guaranteeing me a legal workforce. And the guy who showed up, him and his son showed up, and they've lost 80% of the business. They had 20 U.S. citizens that worked from roofing. And he went out of business. He couldn't compete with all these companies having illegal aliens. So he laid off 20 U.S. citizens because he couldn't compete with all these people having illegal aliens. When it takes you six different calls to have someone that guaranteed you a legal workforce, you know we're in trouble. This is affecting the American labor market. They're driving down wages. Our trauma centers are being overrun. Our schools are being overcrowded by people that simply broke the rules and cheated the system and got in front of the line ahead of millions that are trying to do it the right way. This is criminal, and this Biden administration don't care. It's all about shaping this country the way they want it shaped.
Tom Homan is joining us. Tom was President Trump's director of ICE. He was a career member of the Border Patrol, Border Patrol agent, special agent, first guy to come up through the ranks. Tom, we've only got about a minute or so left. But for those who are hearing this and we're thinking, my God, we've got to do something, what do we do? Is there something that can stem this tide that can save our country?
Well, 2022, we got to take Congress back. They got to go and vote. They can call the Republican congressman and senator and say, why the hell are you sitting down negotiating any budget, negotiating any infrastructure bill when the border is a national security issue? You ought to be boycotting every meeting with Democrats to ensure your movement on the border. I'll share you with this last thing. Last Monday, I'm down in Mar-a-Lago meeting with the greatest president of my lifetime. I've worked for six presidents, no one done more than President Trump to secure the border. I met with him last week. What does that mean? That means if he comes back, Tom Homan comes back, and we'll fix this garbage. And so, you know, I've already made a quit. I'll retire for the third time if I have to come back and make this right. But I met with him. Let's pray. He keeps the decision to come back. He comes back, I come back. But we can't wait till 2024. Call your senator and congressman now and ask them why the hell they're negotiating anything with these people that made our country so unsafe.
Listen, I appreciate the insight. I'm hoping you get the chance to retire yet again. That is Tom Homan. Tom served as the ICE director for President Trump, and he says this border situation is out of control, but we've got to step up. We've got to call not just the folks who are going to run for office. We've got to call people who are in office today and ask them why they are cooperating with folks who are trying to destroy the nation. Jeff Katz in today for my friend Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Jeff Katz sitting in today for my friend Todd. Congressman Andy Harris is going to be along in a couple of moments. We'll try and get some sense of just how big the bill is going to be when eventually the bill has to be paid. Because you do know eventually this bill has to be paid, right? I know we're kicking the can yet again. Well, we're going to raise the debt ceiling, we're going to raise the debt ceiling, we're going to raise the debt ceiling. It's like Wimpy on Popeye. You know, I'll gladly pay you for two burgers next week if I can have one burger today. This is not the way you run a country. And we can try and figure out if we think that Mitch McConnell blinked. You know, one of the things that's going along with this, poll numbers that are beautiful. Oh, no, I mean, not if you're the president of the United States. If you're the president of the United States, they're terrible poll numbers. But for folks like you, folks like me who are thinking, how soon are we going to get a handle on this? How soon can we maybe turn the tide? They're beautiful for us. Let me give you a little snippet here. It's cut number three. This is Mrs. Mika talking about Slow Mo Joe's poll numbers.
Victoria DeFrancesco Soto, the president's approval rating taking a bit of a hit. What do you think the way forward is for Democrats here?
I think it's focusing on everyday Americans, those Americans who are not paying attention to Congress minute by minute. And I think going back to this debt limit discussion, the result of defaulting would be catastrophic for folks who live paycheck to paycheck, folks in the top 1%, top 10%, who don't necessarily need to depend on that. It's not going to affect them. So I think the president, by highlighting the effect, is winning with the public and also politically being able to gain points in pushing Republicans forward.
Yeah. No, you keep saying that. My gosh, it sounded almost believable. She said it with a sort of a straight face. Miss Mika there reporting that the president's poll numbers have taken a bit of a hit, a little drop. It's not a little drop. This is a cratering. This is a president who I think at this point might be hard pressed to find support in his own family. You know, La Cosa Nostra might not even step up for this guy. His polls are abysmal. They're in the toilets. Again, that's good for those of us in the real world. Why? Because it's going to lead people to vote many of these lunatics out of office. There's no nice way to describe them. I'm going to stop trying to be nice. I still try to be nice, but I'm just telling you, there's no nice way. Let me give you another little snippet of the legacy news media types. This is ABC News, which apparently has the information about the president's poll numbers, but, you know, just, well, let's listen to cut number four.
Democrats hoping to pass the massive spending plan by the end of October, with President Biden in need of a boost now. A new poll showing his approval rating dropping to 38%, the lowest level of his presidency yet.
Meanwhile, all of this happening, while here at the White House, they're looking at new poll numbers that show the president's approval rating sitting at 38%, the lowest yet of his presidency.
All right, so that's two network news reports. And what did it take us? 30 seconds? Every time that President Trump sneezed, there was a giant expose. 11 and a half minutes. Why did Trump sneeze? Is it something to do with his hair? Why did he sneeze? Was it a reaction to Twitter? This guy, meaning Biden, has poll numbers that are abysmal if you're a politician. And we just skate past it. The reason, quite frankly, is that the Democrat Party hacktivists who have been deployed to newsrooms are just as bad as the Democrat Party hacktivists who have been deployed to Congress. Their only concern, their complete and total concern, is propping up their party. And if that means they've got to cover up the ugly truth about the grifter in chief, so be it. They will. They'll ignore those numbers. But you and I need to pay attention to them. They're very important, and they ought to give us hope. It's Jeff Katz in for Todd Starnes. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Sitting in today for my friend Todd Starnes. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We apparently are getting ready to kick the can again. We're going to raise, what is it, the debt limit, the debt ceiling. I mean, it's an amazing thing when you think about it. You just give yourself permission to borrow more money. Seriously, try that in the real world. Yeah. Congressman Andy Harris has been around the block once or twice. He's seen up close and personal some of the insanity. I don't know any other way to describe it that's going on in D.C., and he's with us. Congressman, thank you for being here.
It's good to be with you.
Tell me a little bit about what you are seeing and hearing right about now with this latest, I don't know, deep dive into borrowing more money. How does this all work?
Well, it certainly doesn't end well, because the bottom line is the Democrats in Congress and the president want to spend trillions and trillions of dollars with really no plans ever to pay it back, because they just want to increase the debt ceiling every time they would spend more. They just want to increase the debt ceiling. It's increasing the credit limit of our country with no intention to pay it back. And like you say, if you tried to do that with your credit cards and told the credit card companies you really never intend to pay this back, they would never increase your debt limit.
So we're going to borrow, was it for another $400 billion? What are we up to today?
Oh, it's close to half a trillion. It's $480 billion, and that just gets us to December 3rd.
Wow.
On December 3rd, they want to pass another extension, getting us almost up to the next election, and that one's going to have to probably be $1 trillion, $1.5 trillion, which, is just a heck of a lot of money.
Now, what are we doing? Are we having new carpeting put in the Capitol? Do the windows need to be replaced? I mean, honestly, what are we spending this money on?
Well, here's the problem. The problem is, the American Rescue Plan, which was the, over $1 trillion Biden, his first big expenditure. We just found out today that they're actually building a golf course in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, with $2 million of that money. I mean, this is unbelievable. The stories we're getting about how we're wasting that money, which was intended to bail us out of the COVID pandemic, is just stunning. And the plans that are now on the table, especially the $1.2 trillion, and I'll put this in air quotes, infrastructure bill, that's really just a Green New Deal bill.
Yep.
That's being greased now for passage later this month or perhaps next month. This is just craziness.
So we've seen, of course, on the Senate side, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, Senator Joe Manchin saying, no, we're not going to go along with the $3.5 trillion. Are they serious? Or are they going to be, I hate to use the phrase bought off because it's so ugly, but are they going to find something in their stocking on Christmas morning that will make them vote in favor of this?
Well, here's the smoke and mirrors. I think that both of them have more or less said, well, if it was only $1.5 trillion, a mere $1.5 trillion, then maybe we could go along with it. But the way they're going to do that is they're going to take the $3.5 trillion bill, which, for instance, had some programs that were only going to go on for 5 years. They'll just have them go on for 2 years instead of five. But the funny thing is that they want to pay for it over 10 years. This is the smoke and mirrors. This is why when Joe Biden says this bill won't cost you anything, that's nonsense. If you practice accounting the way the accounting goes on this bill, you'd not only be out of a job, you'd be in a jail cell.
Wow. Congressman Andy Harris is joining us. So the sad reality, though, is Democrats are in control in the House. They're in control in the Senate. If they want this, they're going to get this, aren't they?
No, that's absolutely right. And again, we're trying to push back against even the smaller $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. The $3.5 trillion, Mr. Biden calls it infrastructure, but it's not infrastructure. It's just the socialist agenda. Yeah. But they have the votes. They have the votes to do it. They're going to do it through this reconciliation method. The only thing that stops them from spending even more is Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema.
Well, it's an outrageous idea, the whole thing. And as the president has said, infrastructure, I heard that, Congressman. I thought, well, listen, we all want bridges that are safe and highways that are nice and water that's clean. But that's not anywhere to be found in this, is it?
Oh, certainly not in the $3.5 trillion bill. And even again, the smaller $1.2 one. It is all the new spending, only a small fraction is for actually roads or bridges. The rest of it is, as I said, it's Green New Deal 1.0. The $3.5 trillion bill is Green New Deal 2.0. Again, this is bait and switch. Again, if this were the private sector, you'd be in jail for using these kind of sales tactics.
All right, so our only opportunity, obviously, in these midterms, we've got to step up. We've got to swap out some of these players and put Republicans in. But even if you are in control in the House and the Senate, and God willing, Republicans will be, do you have the ability to undo this sort of stuff that they've done?
Well, with regards to some of the spending, we certainly could, but the president would never sign an, you know, the undoing of it.
Okay.
But on the regulatory side, we do have the ability. We have it through the appropriations process. We can constrain what the administration can do. Unfortunately, you know, again, with the larger, quote, infrastructure bill, the socialist mm-hmm. agenda bill, mm-hmm. Once you start spending money on these programs, you know, the problem is, you know, when you start giving people things for a couple of years, they expect you to give it to them forever.
Yeah.
And this is preying on the, you know, on human nature that is just, it, you know, it's terrible the way the Democrats are setting this up. They're setting us up for failure as a country, and we just shouldn't put up with it.
So I have to ask you this. Why would anyone who purports to be a caretaker of the government, which is why we send you folks to D.C. to take care of things, pass it on, hammer out the dents, you know, move it along. Why would anybody who has been charged with this set up a plan that really honestly destroys America from within?
Well, again, I think that there are two types of people who are supporting this. The mm-hmm. ones who truly believe in socialism and potentially even some of them even in communism. And then the people are just too naive, the people who can believe, for instance, that you can print trillions of dollars of money.
Yeah.
You know, the federal government can print it and spend it and have no consequence down the road. Again, these are naive concepts, but this is all about power. This yeah. is all about the Democrats in Congress spending your money and your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren's money in order to obtain voters. And whether it's this bill, whether it's the uncontrolled immigration at the border, mm-hmm. it's all about control.
Congressman Andy Harris from Maryland is joining us for a couple of moments. You know, we used to look at Nancy Pelosi and say she's a crazy, out-of-touch San Francisco leftist. Now she's the moderate amongst the crowd of lunatics in the House, isn't she?
Well, I don't think I'd call her. I think she actually was playing moderate. She was playing
oh.
more moderate up until now. I think she actually is a radical liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Now you'd call it socialist. She is fully behind these programs. She is not standing up to AOC and the Progressive Caucus. She could stand up to them. She's not. Instead, she's actually selling her moderates down the river. I think she knows that she's going to lose the speakership in the next election. The Democrats are going to lose control of the House, and they want one last big lunge at the goal to, you know, get these spending programs in place so that people will vote for Democrats further on in the future.
Wow. Well, listen, I ask you, I urge you, I beseech you, please keep fighting the good fight for those of us that care, and hopefully we get to turn the tide in this next election.
Oh, I always will.
Thank you so much. That is Congressman Andy Harris from Maryland. There are some good folks in D.C. There are some good people in the House and the Senate. They're outnumbered. They're outflanked. They're being outmaneuvered. And if you and I truly want a nation to hand on to our children, we got to be willing to stand up. We've got to be willing to go out and vote. And it depends where you are in the country. You know, where I am in Virginia, we now have voting season. Used to be you went on one day, you showed your identification, you cast your ballot, and that was it. Now we're giving people 30, 40, 50 days to meander, rebuy. Maybe you cast a vote. You have to show ID. Oh, no. That would be offensive. Why is it offensive? If you're in a store and you're picking something up, you've got to show ID. People who use checks. I know they annoy me, too, in the supermarket line. I'm going to write a check for $7.20. No. Please don't. I beg you. No. You move out. I'll pay the $7 because it's going to take an hour. It's like getting a flipping mortgage. But you want to do that anyway? You got to show an ID. You forget your receipt for the dry cleaner? You have to show ID. I had a dry cleaner way back in the day when I used to do television all the time. I was on TV all the time. And so I had wonderful suits, and they all had monograms. I don't know why. I'm just addicted to monograms. I used to be addicted to monograms. Now, can I tell you what I'm wearing right now? I'm not going to scare you, I promise you, but I've got, like, blaze orange shorts on. And, you know, athletic shorts, not undershorts. Please, get your mind out of it. What's the matter with you? No, blaze orange jogging shorts, black T-shirt, and my pillow slippers on my feet, okay? Not exactly a fashion plate, but it is what it is. But way back when, ancient history, when I was on television a couple of times a week, I had all sorts of suits and I had monograms. And I went to the dry cleaner twice a week. I think it was Monday and Thursday. Drop stuff off, pick stuff up. Drop stuff off, pick stuff up. And I would take my sons. And for a good year and a half, I was doing this. I knew the people who owned and operated the cleaning store, and they knew me. They knew my kids. And then one day I showed up. I didn't have my receipt. And you would have thought I was trying to hold up a bank. I mean, I still had my kids. They knew them. They greeted them by name. I was like, well, where's your receipt? I don't have it. Oh, ho. Well, I had to give them my driver's license. I took a photocopy of that. I had to fill out a form. And I'm thinking, they're the only suits in the girth-enhanced size with the monogram JK on them, for goodness sakes. Didn't matter. But now we don't care if you show or tell anybody who you are when it comes time to vote. I got news for you. Our freedoms are under attack. They're under attack every single day, and it's one of the reasons, at least in my opinion, that ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, is so important. Here we are on Friday. If you're like me, you're thinking about the weekend, right? Are you going to go and maybe you take your special somebody to a concert? You've got that $100 in your pocket, and it's kind of burning the hole, right? So you do a concert. Maybe you take the family out to dinner. Maybe you go out to a movie, college football game. How's that? You get pizza afterwards. Well, any one of those things would be fun. They would entertain you for a couple of hours. But I've got a suggestion for you. I'm going to urge you to head on over to ToddStarnes.com instead. You click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, and you make a gift to protect your most precious freedoms and the future of your kids and grandkids. As I said, our rights are under constant attack. You hear the stories on the news every single day, but you and ADF can join forces to fight for religious liberty and freedom of speech. ADF, a nonprofit Christian legal defense organization, and we asked one of ADF's top attorneys why joining forces with you is so important to their mission.
Well, it actually was started with the original vision of this, that we did not just want to be a standalone legal organization. We wanted to be an alliance. We are not called to do this alone, but rather to join together with other Christians, with other people that just share our religious beliefs, that share our value of free speech even, and fight these battles together as one.
What an amazing opportunity. So it's your turn now. A donation of $100 to the Freedom Fund helps ensure that ADF can remain fully funded, on the job, ready to step in anytime your freedoms are challenged. Please join us right now in supporting Alliance Defending Freedom. Go to ToddStarnes.com. That's ToddStarnes.com. Click on the ADF banner or phone in your donation, 855-716-7461. 855-716-7461 to help ADF keep fighting for your freedoms. Jeff Katz sitting in for my friend Todd Starnes today. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Now, it's a beautiful Friday. Folks getting ready for the weekend. I'm getting ready for the weekend. And I thought, all right, we got a couple of moments left here. Wallace is joining us. He's listening down in Georgia on WDUN. And I think, if I'm understanding it correctly, he's got a little something to put a smile on our face. Wallace, you're on the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the job you've done today.
Well, thank you. Okay. It's heavy lifting, but I'm happy to have done it. So you've got a little musical selection that's actually going to help us get a smile?
Well, let's see what happens.
All right.
I got two, maybe three, depending on the time you get.
Okay, sir.
The verse. Oh, AOC, you're such a twit. Just one more useful idiot indoctrinated by the left. of reason and logic, you stand bereft. Without God and without soul, control of others is your goal. We'll still have meat with our meals. We'll not accept your Soylent Green New Deal.
Mm.
The media gives us not the news, but instead repeats your crazy views. We'd all be better off by far had you just stuck to tendon bar.
Wallace, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. That's Wallace checking in from Georgia, listening on WDUN. Boy, he pretty much encapsulates the entire AOC experience, doesn't he? Did anybody else ever think that the big plans for our nation were going to be hatched by a 20-something-year-old bartender? No. Most of us didn't think that. It's not because we are dismissive of 20-something-year-old bartenders. It's because most of us say, let's have a little life experience there. Let's have a little leadership. But you see, this is what happens. This is what happens when people who are people of faith will no longer talk about being people of faith. This is what happens when people who have a belief system and a value system and a concern for others and a compassion for people simply fade away because, you know, we don't want to fight. We don't want to get in an argument. There are times when you need to stand up and be counted. And this is one of those times. This is one of those times. It's easy to not do anything. Look, I got to tell you something. My natural state, I think I'm part sloth. I could sit on a couch and ask my boys to bring chips and something to drink. I mean, I'm that lazy. But I'm at a point where I look at what's going on in this nation. And I look at patriots like Todd Starnes. And I think to myself, you better get up off that couch, dude. You'd better stand up and be counted. So I don't want to lecture you, although it does feel a little bit like a lecture, I know, but that's what we're called upon to do right now. We've got to stand up. We've got to be counted. We've got to be at school board meetings. We've got to vote. We've got to do all those things that, frankly, can be a pain. I know. Oh, they take time. They take effort. They take away from more important things like, you know, gazing at your navel or whatever it is. But we got to do it. Hey, stay in touch, would you? Visit The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Send me an email, jeff@thejeffkatzshow.com. Make sure you keep listening to Todd Starnes. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. God willing, we get a chance to do this all over again sometime. Jeff Katz in for Todd. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.